The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello, Sunny Bonani, and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in the country's expansive property industry. We have an international guest on the podcast this week with the Future Hospitality Summit, the Africa version that is, taking place in Cape Town currently. Execs and hotel and property heavyweights are at the event discussing the sector and hopefully doing deals on the hotel development front in Africa. The world's biggest hotel group, US-headquartered Marriott International, is there naturally, as it has a major presence in Africa and South Africa. In South Africa, especially after taking over Protea Hotels around 11 years ago, that's a long time, but Marriott is a major player in our market as well. Karim Chelchert, the Senior Vice President for Development for the Middle East and Africa region at Marriott International, joins me on the podcast from Cape Town now to share insights on the group's further expansion in Africa, latest developments, and to highlight some of the hot markets on the continent. We were meant to have Jerome Briat on the podcast, Chief Development Officer for EMEA from Dubai, but Chelchert has taken up the interview as he is at the hospitality summit that I mentioned about earlier. Welcome to the Property Pod, Karim.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure and honor to be part of this conversation while visiting Cape Town. Thank you.
I understand you're based out of Dubai, but in your current role, you oversee the growth of Marriott's footprint across the Middle East and Africa region, but you also lead the company's all-inclusive hotel development across EMEA. That's quite a big responsibility. We are going to focus largely on Africa on the podcast. How important is the Africa and SA market for Marriott International?
Thank you again, sir. And so, I mean, it is at the heart of our development strategy and operation as well. So I believe we are all standing at a defining moment today for the continent, right? For too long, Africa has been seen as a challenging frontier. But the truth is, myself being Africa from North Africa, you know, it's a continent of extraordinary opportunity, as we all know. The fundamentals are in place, to be honest. There is a rapid urbanization, a rising middle class, increasing air connectivity, and the new generation of African entrepreneurs who want world-class hospitality, but also growing population, right? So that we cannot forget all this while looking at our development strategy. So in terms of our strategy and the importance of Africa, in 2010, if we go back to in time, sir, and we had seven hotels, operating hotels in Africa, mainly in Egypt. The reality, our journey really accelerated with the acquisition of Protea Hotels in 2014, which instantly basically gave us hundreds of properties across the continent and a deep local expertise as well with our local office in Cape Town. I mean, that was just the start of a story of our growth. But fast forward to today, we are operating today more than 150 properties with about 26,000 rooms across 22 markets. And we have another further 50 hotels, approximately 9,000 rooms in pipeline across the continent due to open by 2027 under different brands from luxury to mid-scale brands. I can name like the Protea, Marriott, JW, AC by Marriott, Courtyard, and Ritz-Carlton, etc. Our regional strategy is really clear, sir. And I mean, it's all about diversify our offering across segments and markets. In South Africa alone, Protea leads with our number of hotels here and rolling out also our global brands, bringing more global brands from luxury to select service into South Africa itself. So again, it is at the heart. We cannot be international without being in Africa, as you know.
Thank you for that. You've actually answered my next question, which was meant to be around the current hotel pipeline. So you said about 50 and 9,000 rooms. Obviously, that's spread across Africa. But the COVID fallout, while it might seem like a distant memory now, are things getting back on track on this hotel development perspective? Obviously, that would have delayed a lot of projects in Africa, not just for Marriott, but other hotel players. Are things gaining momentum from this hotel development pipeline? How soon can we see those 50 hotels come up, the new hotels in Africa?
Very good question, sir. And so what we have seen about COVID is it has been an automatic and natural cleanup of some of the pipeline hotels and deals that were on the market for all the operators and the players, but also was a wake-up call. And we have seen some of the hotelier understood that closing hotels was not really healthy, not good strategy. And we tried, all of us, not to close some of the hotels and to preserve jobs, etc. But then it's the lesson is during such a difficult time, some hoteliers and some like ourselves, we stood by our owners and franchisees to support them to be ready when the business is back. And that's what really happened. That's why we have seen great momentum, to be honest, after everything reopened up again. And that's also, it allows us to see an increase of pipeline deals, but most importantly, the quality of the deals, I would say better, you know. We had and more accelerated pipeline as well, you know. We used to wait for 7-8 years to get a hotel come to life in Africa. We have seen things changing, and we can see now hotels being built between 2 to 4 years time, which is still very good for Africa.
I have to ask, since you mentioned the cleanup comment, it's quite interesting there, because there are some hotels, like even with Protea, when you took over, you had a lot more hotels. A lot of that in secondary cities might have fallen away, where the owners have taken up and either rebranded them. What's your comments around that? Is it pretty much good for Marriott that you're focusing on stronger properties, as it were?
I think always you have contracts that come to expiry and non-renewals. You have also some models can change, some hotels that require additional capex and capital investment for renovation, etc. But also there are some strategy, investment strategy of the local owner community that would like to focus on other investments, right, and asset classes. So that's really natural. But then the takeaway from going back to the question of the COVID and maybe the cleanup of some of the hoteliers understood that it is time to renovate. It is time to, you know, up the game, if I can use it, and be ready, you know, when the market picks up. And that's what happened. They are today leading the charge and achieving great returns and great RevPAR metrics.
This is quite a broad question, but because you've got such a history in the industry over 2 decades beyond Marriott, but at Marriott you joined, I see, in 2010. How has the sector changed since then? We had COVID, yes, but Marriott also during this time took over Starwood, and has it's a huge group with dozens of brands. As I mentioned, the Protea acquisition locally, but where does the industry stand compared to when, you know, you first joined Marriott in 2010? Is it quite stable from considering the last 10 years or 14 years?
Rather? I joined Marriott about 15 years ago, and it's a very interesting question because I have seen this movement, right? I mean, I have been part of the momentum, you know, and I have seen, to be honest, I can recognize today Africa is undergoing a remarkable transformation, to your question, right? I could see and I can see the urbanization, the rising income, the increased connectivity, the booming travel culture, you know, and it created really tremendous opportunity. Before, we used to look at Africa, we means consumers, investors, as a risky trip, a risky journey, you know. And if you think about FDIs, they will say, oh, why should I invest in Africa? Why should I go invest in South Africa? It's risky, or Kenya. But the reality is today, the best investors are the local community because they understand the risk better in their countries. You know, they would say, tell you, what risk are you talking about? I mean, it's normal, right? my return on investment, I can live with 5-7%. And but FDIs, usually they come and ask for a higher. So today, seeing some of the good success stories, you know, I can see everyone asking me, how can I invest in Africa? No? What are you doing in South Africa? What are you doing in Zambia? What are you investing in Zanzibar or Tanzania? So the appetite now is there because they can see the success story, right? And things have changed. I think it's not only the perception, it's the reality on the ground, the infrastructure, the connectivity, as I mentioned, the airlift, etc. It is on the right way.
Thanks for that. I was going to ask about some of those aspects because they're key to tourism, but you've covered it all. Other than your traditional urban hotels, so people see the Marriott brands, the different brands, whether it's Marriott itself or AC Hotels by Marriott. What's new for Africa on the hotels and resorts front? The reason I ask this question is I see Marriott is eyeing the safari segment. It highlighted Kenya development with, I believe, the first Ritz-Carlton brand there. That's quite a big thing for Africa. Are we going to see more of these like premier top-end brands coming in over time?
Yeah, thanks, Suren. You know, at Marriott, we are really excited about what we are doing in the safari space, right? We entered this experience and back 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we signed the first safari lodge and then was built during COVID and then opened right after COVID. And for us, it's not only about adding new properties, as you mentioned, or new brands, etc. It's about expanding the kind of experience we can offer, you know? And experience, to be honest, CERN, we offer to our guests and Bonvoy members, you know, because they always, we want to capture them. Why should they go and stay somewhere else? We need to offer something for them to keep staying with us, right? But also we are offering opportunities for our investors. We have many of our owners coming to us and asking, where can I go next? Where should I invest, you know, since we have a community of investors listening to us, you know? So that's how this started, the safari adventure. So we started with the JW Marriott Masai Mara, which was a big moment for us, to be honest. And now we are following up with the Ritz-Carlton, with the another JW in Kenya as well, more in Tanzania, and just beautiful locations. But for us, they are not just hotels in beautiful places. They are deeply immersive, once-in-a-lifetime kind of stays and holidays. And the potential is also huge here in South Africa. I mean, like our CEO, Tony Capuano, has been very clear, right? We are no longer thinking only in terms of rooms and keys. We want to be part of every meaningful moment in a traveler journey. That's why you will hear him talk about capturing 100% of the travel wallet. I don't know if you heard this, you know? And that's exactly what this move into luxury safari is all about, being where our guests dream of going next, our Bonvoy members. So this is how it started. It is really very successful. That's why we are following up. We have a dozen now of new projects signed to be announced. Some of them already announced, many in safari. The focus has been in East Africa, to be honest, Suren, but we are now shifting focus to more Southern Africa, you know, Namibia, South Africa, Zambia. The potential is huge for us. And we and it's really great for us. And what is also inspiring, if I think about it, is that we are doing this while respecting the land. Think about it again, right? The culture, the communities. So our hotels are fully integrated with the local and the community. It brings us to the subject of sustainability, if you want. But also, you need to be really immersed, you know, immersed with that, you know, local community. So we are bringing our global hospitality standards into this incredible environment. And very fragile also environment, as you know, the nature there, etc., is very fragile ecosystem, but also in a way that's thoughtful and responsible, right? So I think that's great opportunity for the future of luxury travel. And it's not just about service and design anymore, to be honest. It is about emotional connections with the experience. And I'm proud, to be honest, as Marriott, we are leading the charge in this, you know? Our consumer preferences today, as they are shifting, you know, from spending money on consumptions of hard goods into experiences and adventures, right?
Mm.
And that's where the opportunity is. So I can't wait to announce and to, the next lodges, safari lodges in South Africa.
I was actually going to ask this, but let's just pause that for a sec. Marriott Bonvoy, I've heard this from investors before, why they will choose an international player to run a hotel. And a lot of it is linked to the huge guest program that goes for some major hotels like Marriott, probably over a million, I would think, or more. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because that also influences local investors to say, no, I want a Marriott brand on my hotel as opposed to another brand or a local brand.
Again, sir, and this is really the heart of it, right? It's a very interesting question. I think about it this way. You have a beautiful plane, right? If you allow me to mention this, you have a beautiful plane, but you still need two things that are important. You need the pilot, the manager of that plane, you know, but also need the engines, right? You choose between which brand of engines you want to have. Same thing for the hotel. You have the beautiful hotel, you put the brand, the name, but with the name and the brand comes the operator, but also the distribution, you know, platform. And that's all about it, right? So yes, we have Marsha, one of the strongest, and today for me is the industry leading reservation system, but also the Marriott Bonvoy, you know, with more than 238 million members globally.
Wow, it's a lot more than a billion.
238 million, yeah. And It sits at the heart of all our plans, you know, and we see this as significant competitive advantage. So that's what sells the property. Remember, Bonvoy members spend more and they stay longer and they cost less to the owners, right?
Mm.
So instead of paying all those commissions, no need to mention, you know, that's great competitive advantage. And as a global brand operating in a local market, it is important for us to maintain local relevance by unlocking some of the unique experience, you know, to our local members as well. Because we want our local, let's say South African, right? We want to offer them more choices when they travel, but also we want to bring the world to South Africa itself, right?
Mm.
And that's why, if you think, we partnered with the Cricket South Africa, I don't know if you heard about it, and Orlando Pirates to bring members closer to their passion for sport here in South Africa.
Yes.
So these are also some initiatives we do, kind of partnerships, etc. So, that's really very important. Today, loyalty is at the heart, you know,
yes,
of all our plans. And
Sorry to interject there, but I am aware of, and I believe it's with the Protea Fire and Ice Hotels that you have some of those partnerships on a more local level. I know you hinted at it, but you talk about safari investments in East Africa and you talk about sub-Saharan Africa getting more interest. Now, you look at South Africa. I'm speaking to you out of Johannesburg. How important is South Africa and what can we expect? Can you give us a little bit of a taste? Because, yes, Marriott has a big presence in Africa, but you hinted that potentially expanding into the safari space, you know, you have competitors. Club Med is opening a beach resort on the KZN North Coast, which is linked to a safari lodge in Zululand. I believe Radisson, another competitor of yours, has a safari lodge in Hoedspruit. So when can we expect that big announcement? Any comments on what brands we can look forward to?
Look, you mentioned, for the brands we are today talking about for safari lodges and considering Autograph Collection, the Ritz-Carlton, the JW Marriott brands. So these are at the forefront of our development activities for safari. Yes, we are open to some other brands, but we are keeping it very tight and very strategic. And how important is, you said, South Africa? Again, it is one of the most mature markets on the continent, well-established, sophisticated owners, and it's really enjoyable to do deals and do new signings and new partnerships here and new hotels. And if you want to keep focus on the safari, I'm very happy with that. But I think you touch base on an all-inclusive model that you just mentioned, right?
Mm.
Yes, we can consider that South Africa. I personally believe South Africa lacks of some of the resorts, beach resort properties. Many South Africans travel abroad. Yes, the Indian Ocean is closed, you know, to travel to Seychelles, Mauritius, Maldives. But I think the country offers great opportunities, you know. If the airlift and the positioning and the location of the project is well studied, you know, and the thoughtful process, I think that could be very successful. Safari goes without saying, it's a hub. We have we are blessed here in South Africa, being now visiting Cape Town, allowing myself to have great nature and beautiful nature, and you know, so the that's a great potential. So on all-inclusive front and resort, there is great opportunity. But let's not forget a sector that is really maybe forgotten or underestimated, which is the mid-scale segment and the entry-level select service and mid-scale. These are huge potentials, great return investment, secondary cities, less capital investment requirement than going for a luxury hotel, Suren, going for, you know, full service hotel that will cost, you know. So these are also great opportunities, and you can have a collection of mid-scale projects. We have recently announced our new brand series by Marriott, and it is basically a great opportunity also, you know, to have a collection of regional collection, I would say, brand in the mid-scale to upscale segment, aiming at providing value-focused and high-quality stay, you know. And this is an opportunity for some of the local regional brands here in South Africa to maybe join and affiliate with our system and benefit from what you just said, benefit from the Marriott Bonvoy and the power of Marriott and power of Marriott distribution. It's a powerhouse, you know, of reservation, of loyalty that adds value and adds bookings and gets a good penetration to the for the demand.
Thanks for that. Just on the urban front again, you know, Marriott, you see the brands in the major cities, but you are in Cape Town. I know there's an Autograph Collection hotel that's either opened or opening up at Camps Bay. But what other hotels are opening up in Cape Town? Any new brands that we can look forward to?
So I will mention one because it's officially announced, which is, you just touched base, and it's the 90 key or 90 room hotel, the Moria House Autograph Collection in Camps Bay. It is due to open hopefully in August, this August 2025. And it's a stunning property in stunning location, right? However, I look forward, to be honest, to visit next time and stay there. I'm loyal usually to the Westin here or the AC by Marriott. On the V&A waterfront, an amazing property that is has been doing really well. But we are actually very active as we speak on the front of the luxury hotels. We will hopefully announce soon. And then also very active with some of our strongest partners here in South Africa, exploring mid-scale opportunities, as I mentioned a minute ago or two, especially in secondary cities. I think there is a great opportunity in cities like and secondary locations, not only always Cape Town, Johannesburg, but Stellenbosch and other locations. I think there are great opportunity for mid-scale lifestyle brands.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
I'm going to have a healthy pipeline.
You have a healthy pipeline. I know MDEC developments have their foreshore development that they mentioned that they will have a Marriott hotel there because you have a partnership with them at Melrose Arch in Johannesburg. But any comments about a potential Marriott addition coming to Cape Town anytime soon?
That's great news, by the way. I hear it from you. But, you know, we are exploring. I think the city of Cape Town, it is for me a great door, you know, to the tourism, to South Africa itself, right? The mother city with all what it can offer. I think having a hotel like the Edition or the W or other, some other of our luxury brands and lifestyle brands, it's something I would call it due or overdue. And I think that would be only great news for South Africa itself. You know, that would bring again another type of hospitality and experience for guests, but also a type of guest and to South Africa itself.
So no comment on that or confirmation just yet, even though the owners of the V&A Waterfront may have let the cat out of the bag about that potential big development, which is actually under construction, but there's no official announcement yet. So we look forward to that. Karim, thanks so much for your time. That was Karim Chaltut, Senior Vice President for Development for the Middle East and Africa at hotel giant Marriott International.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.